Canons of Dort, first head of doctrine, Articles 6 and 7. Election is part of predestination, and election is evidence of grace. So now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the first three articles of the first head of doctrine of the Canons of Dort teach that all men from the fall of Adam and Eve have been inherently sinful and under the just condemnation of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, none who seeks after God, none who understand. We have all turned aside to our own way. And the next two articles teach election was grounded on the love of God, the wretchedness of man, and that's why we needed to be elected. And God did so by his love, and he reveals that love through his word. We would never know how to be saved, how to enjoy the blessings of God, to enjoy the fruit of our election without the word of God. Now today, we will open up the doctrine of election a little bit more and consider two more things which are our headings for today. First of all, God elected whom he would save and whom he would reject. And second, God elected out of pure grace and for his pleasure those whom he would save. Our goals are that seeing the richness of God's love in electing you, and it is rich love, that you will rejoice in your election. And then second, you will endeavor to be used by him to call the elect into God's kingdom. First of all, God elected whom he would save and whom he would reject. Article 6, God's eternal decree, and we read together saying, the fact that some receive from God the gift of faith within time, and that others do not, stems from God's eternal decree. Thus says the Lord, who has been making things known from long ago. In accordance with this decree, God graciously softens the hearts, however hard, of the chosen ones, and inclines them to believe. But by just judgment, God leaves in their wickedness and hardness of heart those who have not been chosen. And in this especially is disclosed to us God's act, unfathomable and as merciful as it is just, of distinguishing between people equally lost. This is the well-known decision of election and reprobation revealed in God's word. The wicked, impure and unstable, distort this decree to their own ruin, but it provides holy and godly souls with comfort beyond words. That's quite a mouthful there. We'll break it apart by pieces now. God eternally decreed or predestined before the world began whom he would elect to eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. That we can say with certainty, that's what the scriptures teach. And if you have any question about it, you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and following, and let's read that together saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, it is important to note that you were not saved by election. Rather, you were elected to be saved. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You were not saved by election. Second, God eternally decreed even the minutest details of the elect's salvation. He decided who the elect parents would be, in which country they would be born, which church would be near their house that they happened to go into, which missionary might have come to them in their home country to share the gospel, in which area those missionaries decided to settle. He even decided what language you were going to speak and that you would be able to understand, because the Bible is not available for everyone, even now. He decided who your elders would be, every detail of your life and your salvation, the Lord determined. You know, the missionary could have said, well, this place sounds good, but let me go over here. And maybe you never would have heard the gospel. But the Lord sent them to the right place so you could receive that word. That's how special you are. That's election. And then he prepared the Lord Jesus. In that covenant of redemption, that it was between the Father and the Son. And the Father gave the Son a definite number to which no one can be added or subtracted, as his possession forever. That's how precious you are. You know the difference in your own life. We have a sense of this, that you choose to marry someone and not someone else, or someone chose to marry you and not someone else. You think how special that is, that someone would choose you. And imagine choosing someone for eternity, to love them and die for them. Number three, God then softened the heart. Not only worked in all the details in preparing you, right family, right place, right gospel and everything, but then God softened the heart of the elect and gave them faith at a certain point in their life to work the effects of salvation. And it doesn't matter how hard the sinner's heart may be. You think of that. Some people are so hard. You think they will never come to Jesus, and he changes their heart. And by the way, there are some people you think they're so close to the kingdom, they're going to become a Christian tomorrow, and they never really make that step. See, God works in his time and in his way. So don't, of course, you see the benefit there. Don't get distracted when people might fight you with the gospel. Let the Lord work. He'll break their hearts. He works on the inside powerfully. And then sometimes he softens someone's heart quickly. They hear the gospel and they become a believer. And sometimes it takes a long time, year after year after year, you share the gospel before they become Christians. Sometimes they're old when they become Christians. And that's always a joy to watch someone who lived a life in rebellion against God. Then they finally, the Lord breaks them when they're old. Or sometimes when they're young, they hear the gospel, they believe. Sometimes God saves people when they're sick. That's one of the purposes of sickness. He brings you low so you realize your helplessness, and then you call out to God. Sometimes God saves you when you're well. Sometimes he saves people on their deathbed. Now, some people often look at this with some suspicion, because you try to hedge your bets when you're dying and you try to make life right with God. But God saves people on their deathbed. He saved one on the cross who was a thief and a rebel. And the Lord saved them hours before he died. Four, God decreed from all eternity not just to save some, but to leave some behind, not to save them. He left them in the hardness of their hearts. This is called the doctrine of reprobation. We speak of double predestination. The Lord saves some, he elected some to salvation, and some he leaves. Reprobation is God's decree to leave some wicked people to their own desires, and he does not give them eternal life. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 18 in your notes. Together, therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. Romans 1:28, together. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now, it is God's choice to give eternal life to whomever he wishes. But remember this, men are not saved because they're not elect. I know it's a little confusing. But the point is, men are not saved because they are not elected. Men are not saved because they don't desire eternal life. Men are not saved because they don't ask for eternal life. That's why men are not saved. You can't say, I'm not elected, that's why I'm not saved. Men are not saved because they don't cry out to God. And when you see that phrase there, he hardened some, this simply means that God left men to their own devices. The man who is left to his own devices becomes hardened against God. God doesn't go into his heart and say, look, I'm going to make you stubborn. That would make God the author of sin, and God is not sinful. When God leaves you alone, you naturally become hardened. Through no fault of God, but your own fault and your parents' fault. 5. So let's bring it personally now. We know that God elected some to eternal life, elected them in Christ. He softens their heart at the right time, puts them in the right place and all of that. And then there are some, he just leaves them alone. How do you respond then, knowing God elects some to life and leaves some in death? See, doctrines always have applications. First of all, find joy in the doctrine of election. Salvation is in Christ alone, the one who shed his blood for the complete remission of all your sins. See, left to yourself, you would be like those he has left to themselves. You'd be lost. And that's why you need to find joy, because someone found you when you were lost. You were lost, but now you're found. You were blind, now you see. And that's why we sing of the praises of God. Of course, you can't fully praise God because you don't fully grasp the greatness of your election. And sometimes if you want to take some credit, like we're looking at in Galatians, you want to take a little bit of the credit for your election. I chose God, and you forgot to say, God chose me and worked in me and give me the grace to choose him. So we will never really praise God like we should for election, but we should sing of his electing love. I sought the Lord and what? And afterward I knew what? That he was the one who was seeking me. He's the one who found me. You could have been justly left to death. He didn't leave you there. Second, again, very important one, be patient when you share the gospel with someone who does not immediately believe. Be faithful in your work, teach them the truth, and wait for God. Don't think someone is not elect because they reject the truth a few times. For most people, salvation is a long process of time. I know what you see on television sometimes when Billy Graham goes, and a lot of that is not real. And when he preached, and you'd see thousands of people, well, most of those people are not really converted there. Or many of them are just nice people who are already Christians who feel like they should go up to encourage other people to go. For most people, it's a long process of time. Be patient. Be patient. They may reject you many times before they accept Christ. Third, reprobation glorifies God. You think that? Yeah. When God leaves some behind and they go to hell, does that glorify God? Yes. Now, we don't throw a party and say, I'm glad he's gone to hell. But we understand the weight of God's justice. And it shows the holiness of God. And it reminds us of how much he loves us. That we don't end up in hell. That we are not reprobated. We're not abandoned by God. And God is glorified even there. And fourth, you must not brush God's truth aside because you don't like it. You see, a lot of people don't like that doctrine of reprobation. The thought that God will not save some, while he will save others, is seen sometimes as unfair. It's not unfair, not in the least. That's because you don't think man is as bad as he is. That's why you would think that that is unfair. But if you understand total depravity, you would understand that reprobation is simply God's justice. And you would love the doctrine of election because that's the means by which you live. Let's come to our second point. God elected out of pure grace and for his pleasure. First, we said God elected whom he would save and whom he would reject. Election and reprobation. And why did God do this? The details now. Out of pure grace and for his pleasure. Article 7 dealing with election. Election is God's unchangeable purpose by which God did the following. Together, before the foundation of the world, by sheer grace, according to the free good pleasure of God's will, God chose in Christ to salvation a definite number of particular people out of the entire human race, which had fallen by its own fault from its original innocence into sin and ruin. Those chosen were neither better nor more deserving than others, but lay with them in common misery. So, first, God elected condemned sinners out of pure grace to give them eternal life. What is grace? That which is an unearned gift. It's not just giving people something free. Something's free or no good. This is a gift that you desire. This is something you need. It's something essential. And God didn't have to elect anyone, but he gave them a gift out of grace. And those chosen for this grace were no better than anyone else who has ever lived. You look back and look at the history. Now, in our more modern history, we think of horrible people like Adolf Hitler. Those who were elected were not better than Adolf Hitler or Pol Pot in what he did in Southeast Asia, how many people he slaughtered, or Idi Amin and what he did to the people of Uganda. We look at these men and say, oh, how horrible. And then you need to look in the mirror and see, you weren't better than those people. It was but the grace of God. My father used to say many people aren't thieves because they didn't get the opportunity. Many people aren't tyrants because they didn't get the opportunity. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Remember this passage. A good one to memorize as well. Together, the Lord did not set his love on you nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage. You were chosen because of God's love, because of God's grace, God's kindness to you. See, God didn't reject people because he said, well, the color of the skin is wrong. That's one of the reasons I love serving the Lord here. We look out and see people in all shapes and sizes, and ethnic backgrounds, countries. It reminds us of how God chooses us, doesn't it? You know, in the past, there were more Christians were of different skin color, Africans and Middle Eastern. That's where most Christians were. The whites were the cannibals in Northern Europe, horrible warmongers. And then things changed. They heard the gospel, they believed. And then went into China, and it went south, as far as the Lord will call his people to go. And it's only out of pure grace that we are who we are in Jesus Christ. That's what makes election so wonderful. And I'm saying that on purpose to show that God chose people from all different backgrounds, that you would not be afraid to share the gospel with people from all different backgrounds and to talk of Jesus. Second, God elected not just out of grace, but he did for his good pleasure. It wasn't a random thing, and you'll see more about this later. Number three, God elected through grace and for his pleasure a definite number. The number is so precise that you could not add a single soul to it, or you could not remove a single soul from it. And what does this imply for us? Security. You see, the one that God elected are the ones he will call, and the ones he will justify, and the ones he will sanctify, and the ones he will glorify. You're chosen, your ticket to heaven is there. 100%, without fail. Four, God elected through grace and for his pleasure a definite number, but some who were no better than those he did not choose. Now it starts to get personal. God chose you out of grace for his good pleasure, but you were no better than others. You know, we live in a world where people think, well, he could become a Christian because he looks morally better. He doesn't cheat on his wife. He doesn't cheat on his taxes. He cuts his grass. He takes care. He votes in election time. Looks like a good guy. Maybe that's why God chose him. And the Bible's saying no. Those who say those things don't know the scriptures. All were wretched and blind. None knew the way of God. God had to open their eyes first. So some elect could be more sinful than those who are non-elect. You get that? God can save really, really wicked people. And those who appear to be nice. And we might look at them and say, they look pretty good. They look decent. They're not abusive. They work hard. They follow the speed limit. They must be closer. That's not what the Bible teaches. Let's continue reading from this article. Together, God did this in Christ, whom God also appointed from eternity to be the mediator, the head of all those chosen, and the foundation of their salvation. So God decreed to give to Christ those chosen for salvation, and to call and draw them effectively into Christ's fellowship through the Word and the Spirit. That is, to grant them true faith, to justify them, to sanctify them, and finally, after powerfully preserving them in the fellowship of God's Son, to glorify them. So, God elected through grace and for his pleasure that definite number in Christ. Election is never ever apart from Christ. There's no other way to be saved. Christ merited salvation for every single one of the elect that the Father had given to him. Now, here's where we've got to deal with some errors. There are some who reject this idea and say they have to choose Jesus for themselves. But in doing this, they're putting themselves above God, not realizing that God is the first mover. And that God must give them the ability to choose. They choose him because God regenerated their hearts first. Man is always second. And even the ability to choose is a gift of God. It's God who works in us both to will and to do. Next, there are some who say they feel cold and hard and can't come to Christ. And you know the answer to that. That's precisely the reason you are to come to Christ. Because you are cold and hard and you need to come to him to warm your heart. You need to have that sense of helplessness and say, I can't do this. I don't feel like worshiping God. I don't feel like pleasing God. That's when you should come and say, yeah, I don't feel like doing it. You're acknowledging your sin. You're acknowledging your hopelessness when you do that. And there are those who use election as an excuse not to exercise faith. And this is when it gets even more personal, particularly for young people who have been raised in the church. And sometimes you stand up and you can profess your faith in Jesus Christ, but God wants more. Children are to call upon the name of the Lord. They're to put their trust in him. You have to exercise that faith you have and receive into your heart what Jesus has done. Number six, God elected through faith for his pleasure a definite number to call and to draw them in Jesus Christ. You see, we're elected in Christ, but how does that work? There's a pull. God must move you. You learn your hopelessness. So God calls and draws you to himself by his word and his spirit. He gives you the faith to receive his word. That word which talked about the work of the covenant keeper who would perfectly obey God's law for us and then would die for us. And then he adopts us and then he saves us and he sanctifies us and he preserves us throughout our lives. Ultimately, he will glorify us. But then the question then comes again. Number seven, how do I know if I am elected? And I say to you this answer, that's a wrong question to ask. Instead, you need to ask yourself this: do I believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, you are elected. You don't have to ask yourself that question. The case is closed. If you don't believe, then you need to learn about Jesus. Learn about the holiness of God. Learn about the sinfulness of man. And learn about the work of the Savior for you. You see, there's no birthmark that says elect. There's the command, believe. Believe. Believe what the Bible says about you and God and the work of Jesus Christ. Let me read this last part here. Considering the fact that you don't have this feeling, let me see how I feel. God didn't ask you about whether you feel elected or not. He said, believe in Jesus Christ. Those who believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. They will not be rejected, but be accepted. Now, God did all this in order to demonstrate God's mercy to the praise of the riches of God's glorious grace. As the scripture says, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, that's Jesus Christ. And elsewhere, those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This last part deals with this important topic. It's practical as well. God elected through grace, for his good pleasure, a definite number, through Jesus Christ, by his word and spirit, so that the redeemed might praise him. God didn't elect you to prove his power, though his power is seen in election. He did this because he wants men's praises. In fact, man's election shows man's need to praise God even more. That's the goal here, isn't it? Let's conclude. God worked all the details of election, every single detail. And he did so before the world was made. God did this wonderful work of election out of pure grace. You did not deserve something good, but you received it. And he did it for his pleasure. He desires to receive your praises. So how do you respond, brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you need to humble yourself before the one who graciously elected you. God chose you when you could not choose him and you would not choose him. And then he did everything for you to be saved, even giving you faith, the hands and mouth of the soul, to receive what Jesus did for you. But humility then must lead to, having received the blessing, to rejoice. Rejoice in the blessed hope you have as a Christian. Worship him. Sing like you were chosen from the dung heap, cleaned up, married to a king, and given a royal name. Can you imagine something like that happening? even in this earthly context, wouldn't you praise the one who did something like that for you? And Jesus did it for you, and you are his forever. And then you must pray like you have access, because you do. You have access to the King. But along with rejoicing in your duties, there's one special one. You need to tell others that God loves the world and he elected many to himself. Be a part of working out election in someone else's life. God is pleased to use human agents. Yeah, he uses pastors, he uses elders, he uses you, every single one of you. You see, the part of the bride, and it's wonderful to be a bride, but what's the most common thing in every bride's life? Is the desire to have children. And some can't have children, but they try to have children. Try to see if God will give them children. And that's what you are called to do too. To multiply. To share that message of Jesus Christ that will give life to those who are yet in darkness. And if you're not a Christian, know you will be condemned if you refuse to accept Christ's salvation. It has nothing to do with election. You are condemned if you reject Christ's offer. You are saved if you accept Christ's offer. I plead with you to ask the Lord to give you eternal life. He says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful doctrine of election. But more than for the doctrine of election, it's the result of your election that we are even more thankful for. For you called us. You give us all the things we need. You provided our and guided our entire lives from even before we were born, who our parents would be, where we would live, where we'd hear the gospel, the church we'd be able to attend, what messages we'll hear proclaimed. And now we are here. We thank you. Help us, Lord, to realize how much we need to humble ourselves and live for you. And even to tell others about the glorious work of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name.